And so great to see everybody today. We started last week about the fruits of the Spirit, and we kind of started off on that. We said about the Beatitudes and how God wants to change our attitude. He wants to change how the way that we go. And as a Christian, that I want to be saved and I want to know Him and I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to be a nightmare till I get there. I want to be kind to people around me. I want to show kindness. I want to show love. I want to see progression in my life. We said about how wouldn't it be amazing at the end of this year that going into 2019, people would say, "Wow, you're just great. I just felt like your compassion went to another level. I felt like your kindness went to another level." Wouldn't that be amazing? And so those were the things we're kind of thinking about. And so we talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, and then we said what we need to do, we need to get to the fruits of the Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is in us, then He produces good fruit. And so this morning, that's what we're going to think about, and that's what we're going to look at. Here's what it says in Galatians 5:22. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It's so important that we know this. The Holy Spirit produces. This is good news for us, and it's encouraging for us, because we don't have to try to do this. This is something that's available to us if we're ready to receive it. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Good news this morning. God is producing these in our lives if we allow Him to be the producer. If it was like a movie, then He's the producer and He's deciding what happens. Or if it was a movie and He's the director, then He's directing what happens. And this morning, these are the things that He wants to produce in our lives. And these are the things He wants to do. And as we think about them, there's three kind of quick things we need to think about as we get into the topic this morning. And that is, first thing, it takes time and maturity to grow fruit. It takes time to do these things. The gifts, I love the gifts because they come instantly, and maybe they just come in a moment. As we were believing for the $175,000 to buy our building over the summer, it felt like we got a gift of faith to believe just like in a way that we could never believe before. But fruit grows slowly because it's got to come in its time. It's got to come in its season. And as a result, it can take patience. And in fact, one of the fruits is patience. And it can take time to come. And so we got to realize this morning that the Lord wants to work through us, but we've got to allow Him. And without getting impatient and without getting frustrated, we've got to allow Him to do what He needs to do. And I think a key thing this morning as we think about the fruits of the Spirit is that we've got to submit to Him. It's not a term that we really like that much because we think of submit in a negative connotation. But whenever we bring it to God, because He's a good Father, because He's a great friend, because He's a Savior, then to submit to God is a pleasure. And as we submit to Him, He builds this fruit into our lives. So God wants to encourage us this morning. Submit to Him. Allow Him to do what He needs us to do. And maybe if you need to, repent. I think repent is such an important thing. What does that mean? It says, I've got to say sorry. But it's got to be deeper than just my normal sorry that I maybe say sometimes to get away with things or to get the forgiveness that I need. But it's got to be deeper than that. And it's like, Lord, every day when I'm going through my day, there are times when I say and do things that I shouldn't do. And so I repent. I turn around. I say sorry for that, Lord. I let that thing go because I know as a Christian, I know as a follower of Christ, that's not the kind of things that should be in my life. And God wants me to live free from sin. Romans 6 tells us that we are not under the law anymore, but we're under grace. And one of the best benefits of that is that we no longer have to sin. We can refrain from sin. We have the power over sin because of Christ Jesus. And I was reading some things over this last couple of weeks, and I think Nikki mentioned it, and it said this: wouldn't it be amazing if we got it in our mind and we got it in our head that we realized and we got to a point of where we thought to ourselves, I actually don't have to sin. I don't have to sin. I don't have to put up with that. I can actually head the direction of no sin. Now, I may not always get there. I may not always win, but that's the direction I'm heading, rather than the one of, it's just the way it is. It's just what happens, but thank goodness for God's grace. Now, thank goodness for God's grace, but God says, through my grace, I want to strengthen you to go for things that you've never went for before. So God is here this morning. He says, you got to submit, and as you do that, it can take time to grow fruit. Here's the second key thing about growing fruit. It's essential for health. It's essential for health. It's essential for our health as Christians that we grow and allow the Holy Spirit to grow this fruit in our lives. If not, here's the picture. We went to a stag years ago. We went to a stag. We thought we were going to be Bear Grylls. Anybody know Bear Grylls? We all thought we were going to be him. So we thought we were going to go and be a survivalist. Now, not too hard and not too difficult. So we said, keep it simple. But here was the plan. We're going to go to Enniskillen. We're going to come off a jetty or somewhere around there, Baleek. I think it was somewhere around there. And then we're going to paddle out in a couple of canoes, and we're going to go to this like kind of mini island. It's not an island. It's just a bit of ground or something in the middle of a lake. That was it. That was the plan. We're going to pitch a tent. It's going to be an amazing night. We're going to be like, we're going to live in the wild. It's going to be awesome. Now, we got there, and we got into the canoe, and we realized very quickly that these canoes are much harder than the guy was making out to. He said it's just from here to there, that kind of tiny wee bit over there. And before you knew it, it was miles. It was absolutely miles. And these canoes wanted to go all round in circles. They did not want to go straight. And the thing that we realized was there's wind that's coming against us. There's the kind of, well, I guess it wasn't a tide, but some kind of a tide thing, some kind of movement thing coming against us. It was just hard, put it like that. And we realized very quickly, Bear Grylls is a great guy, and we may not be him ever. Maybe not ever. But we got into these canoes, and you know what I realized very quickly? Is that if the guy in front paddles off the same side as me, do you know what we do? We go around in circles. That's all we do. We just keep going like this all the time. And we kept saying to the guy, why are we going in circles? Why are we not going straight? He's like, one guy's got to paddle this side, one guy's got to paddle that side. And you got to paddle even. You got to paddle at the same time. You got to be in rhythm. Otherwise, you're just going to go sideways. Or another way to think about it is maybe like an airplane. Hopefully you're never in this situation, but an airplane with only one wing. I mean, we want to believe it's going to go in circles. It's not. It's going to go straight down. But for a while, it might go in circles. It might just go in circles. And God is here this morning. He says, hey, if we're not careful, we can be lopsided as Christians. We can be Christians that, you know, we're going after the things of God. We're going after the Holy Spirit. We want to see this big impact in our lives. But the fruits are not growing because we're just living careless, reckless lives. And here's the truth about it. We can have these amazing gifts. We can have an amazing anointing. We can have amazing talent. But we can have really poor character. We can have really poor fruit growing in our lives because we don't have love. We don't have joy. We don't have peace. In fact, we don't think we need them because we feel our anointing and our gifting is better than all of that. And the incredible thing about God is that he will still use you and he will still bless through you because he uses messes like me and messes like you. But God says this morning, my plan and my design for you is you're going to fly straight and true. Is that you're going to go straight and through the waves, through the wind, through the challenges, because you've got the strength on the left and you've got the strength on the right. You've got the Holy Spirit on the left producing these good gifts, but you've also got the Holy Spirit on the right producing this good fruit in your life. And that transforms you. And so this morning, it's essential that we have the fruits of the Spirit for health. And here's a key thing this morning, and we're going to read it in just a moment in Galatians 5:17. Desire is absolutely essential. What is our part in producing good fruit? Well, we don't produce it, but our desire is absolutely vital. Our desire is absolutely vital because if we don't desire the things of God aren't going to happen in our lives. If we don't desire to follow after God, we're not going to follow after God. It's so simple because the things that we desire are the things that we go after. Desire is a heart thing. Desire is a soul thing. It's a core thing. And God says this morning, I want you to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. But if your desire is not there, it's going to be very difficult because you'll start to desire other things. Because this morning, who knows this? We all have desires. It just depends what they're in. We all have desires. We all have wants. We all have things that we want to go for. But God says this morning, what is your desire? Because your desire, if you want to grow good fruit, if you want to see much fruit produced in your life, it's going to have to be after me. It's going to have to be. Here's what Galatians 5:17 says. This, I want us to check it out. The sinful nature. Now look at this, guys. The sinful nature wants to do evil. This is who we were before. This is not who we should be now. Now, there's times where it can be, and there's grace for that, but we're aiming to get away from this, which is just the opposite. Look, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. So there's something opposite. There's this way to go that way, and the Holy Spirit wants us to go this way. And the Spirit gives us desires. Think about this morning. We're not even trying to find this desire ourselves. We're just trying to head the right direction. We're trying to allow the Holy Spirit to work through our lives. And if we want a person to have influence with us, we've got to get close to the person. And the Holy Spirit, the person says this morning that he wants to give us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. But there are two desires, sinful nature and then the Holy Spirit desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out their good intentions. So maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I just really want to go for God. But there's this sinful nature that's just coming against us and trying to distract us. Who knows that one of the best things that holds us back from God is distraction. I get distracted by this, I get distracted by that. I get distracted by the things going on in my life. But there are two forces, and we have good intentions. But if we don't have the desires of the Holy Spirit, then we get distracted a different way. Verse 18, but when you are directed by the Spirit, I love this morning. When you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Here's the key question this morning before we move any further. Who is directing your life? Who's directing your life? We talked about it, the movie scenario. Imagine coming on set without a director. I don't know a lot about movies, but I know that directors carry a lot of weight. They're the main guys, they're the main girls that is going to make this movie happen. People are going to know, where do I stand? What do I say? What do? How do I act? God says this morning, if you want to know how to act, if you want to know what to say, if you want to know the places to go, you need a good director in your life. But who is your director this morning? Is it your friends? Your friends can be a director, but it may not be the best. You can be your director. You can be your director this morning. And again, it may not be the best. In fact, I believe God says this morning, He wants to be our director. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, suddenly things change. Suddenly we talk differently, we act differently, and fruit starts to bear from our lives. Our desire needs to be led by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit leads us, our desire becomes His. There's this beautiful verse in Psalms where it says that God wants to give us the desires of our hearts. Imagine that. Now, God's not going to give us the desires of our heart if they're not His desires. But the depth in the verse is, as we get closer to God and we're directed by the Holy Spirit, suddenly our desires are His desires. And so, therefore, it's perfectly natural that God would give us the desires of our hearts because our hearts are His. And so this morning, what are your desires? What are the things that you're after? What's these number one core things? What are these number one desires that you are after? Do they align up with the things that God's after? And we may look at the fruits of the Spirit and go, well, that's not going to get me a job. That's not going to make me a lot of money. That's going to be this. That's going to be that. Do not be naive. The Holy Spirit wants to direct us, and our attitude and the way that we carry ourselves and the gifts that we give away, the fruits that are on our lives, they make an essential difference to who we are. Galatians 17 tells us there are two forces. Which one is controlling our lives? Lastly, on desire. Desire is something that we long for. Desire is something that we ask for. What are we longing for, and what are we asking for? This is what God wants us to think about this morning. There are two kinds of fruit. There's bad fruit and good fruit. Here's the bad fruit. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, remember this, there's no choice but one or the other. There is no in between. It's one or the other. The sinful nature wants to do one thing, and the Spirit wants to do another thing. Here's what the sinful nature wants to do. Let's read it together in verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, and lustful pleasures. They all want to take us away from the path that God has got us on. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Wow, we're reading this list and maybe we're thinking, there's some of these in my life. Now, there's a tendency for some of these to be in our lives because we live in a broken world, but God is saying you can produce different fruit depending on your desires. Outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I've said before, and this is where God takes it to another level because our fruit defines us, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this is where God wants to speak to our hearts. Now, here's the good news about God. God convicts, He doesn't condemn. The purpose of conviction is that you will turn around. The purpose of conviction is that you will repent. The purpose of conviction is that you will see, wow, that's not the way that I want to live. That's not the way I want to be. And so, therefore, I want to turn my life around. Condemnation says, this is all you're ever going to be. You'll never change. You're never going to be any different. That's what the devil wants to tell you. And maybe as you see that list, you feel a condemnation. That is not from God, that is from the enemy, and that is a lie. Because you can be different as you would trust God, as you would allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life instead of maybe you directing your life, or a friend directing your life, or somebody else directing your life. But if somebody else directs your life, these are going to be the end results because they're going to naturally take you to the sinful nature. But God says this morning that if you want to be directed by me, then you're going to produce different fruit. And I know, here's the deal, guys. I know when we read these verses, they are not comfortable. Can we not get to the good fruit quick? But sometimes we got to understand what the bad is so that we know how good the good is. And we look at the cross and we're mindful of the shame and the pain and the rejection that God went through because we're overwhelmed with His incredible love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He went through all of that shame, rejection, and all of the bad negative sin because He had to for us. And God says this morning, by our very natures, this is the way that we will live, but this is not the way we have to live. And this morning, as we look at some of these verses, we got to encourage ourselves and say to ourselves, that may have been me, or maybe that is me, but I'm going to decide to be different because God has different things for me. Matthew 7:20 says this, therefore by their fruits you will know them. See, God is saying this is serious stuff because you cannot suddenly go from producing one fruit to another fruit. You are what you are. But in God's strength, you can be turned around. You can be different because he makes you a new creation. In fact, in Matthew 7, just before that, it tells us, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. So if we are in Christ, we are a good tree, and we are going to produce good fruit. And that's what we should do. And if we're not producing that, then we need to allow the Holy Spirit to come direct us again. Allow him to convict you. Allow him to cause you to come back to the Lord. Allow him to cause you to repent, because those things have no place in your life. We think that they're not going to be a big deal, but Jesus was really clear that he says, you think they're not a big deal, but they will hold you back from eternal life in heaven. And God is here this morning, and he wants to encourage us. He wants to build us up. Here's the good news about God. He never takes away and gives us nothing in return. He only takes away things that are no good to give us something that's even better, because he has better plans and he has better things in store for us. And here is the good fruit. We read it, but we will read it again in light of the context that we're just in now. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. This is what he wants to do in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these. These are the things that God wants to produce. And these are what he is producing in your life, sometimes whether you like it or not. And we can fight against it. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the first three fruits of the Spirit. And we're going to take some time in love, joy, and peace. And we're going to think about it. And we're going to ask the Lord to reveal to us, what are these? What's happening in our lives? Holy Spirit, what are you doing through our lives in this? And how can I kind of follow suit? How can I live my life directed by you so I'm no longer producing that other fruit, but I'm producing this fruit, which is good. Good for me and good for everybody else. Again, we remind ourselves, it's the Holy Spirit that's producing this fruit. We don't get tied up thinking, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this. I mean, even like the fasting thing. If you're trying to do it in your strength, you are killing yourself, and you know it yourself. You know it. It's just the biggest torture in the world. Now, there'll be discomfort, but if you're doing it in God's strength, it's different. It's like trying to read. It's like trying to pray. If we're trying to do this because I want to be, look at me, and it's all about me, and I want to be this, and I want to be that, then we're going to miss the point. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard. And there will be a day that comes that says, hey, I'm giving up on this thing. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, he will produce this kind of fruit. So we're going to look at the first one. And it is love. Love. Here's where God really popped in my heart for this. God give us the ability to love like him. God give us the ability to love like him. Think about that for just a moment and allow it to change how we think about everything. God has given us the ability through the fruits of the Spirit, through being a new creation in him, to love like he loves. Now think about that for a moment and now pop that into your life in terms of how do you love everybody else? Oh my goodness, I don't love people the way God loves. I don't love them the way I should. And you see, there's the conflict. There's the choice. There's the decision that we have to make. God is producing this in our lives, but we have to decide to use this fruit. We have to decide to put it on the table. We've got to decide to put it on our lips. We've got to decide to put it in our minds. We've got to decide to live like that. And God is here this morning. He said, I've given you love like the same love I have. That's the truth about the love that God's producing in you. It's incredible love. It's incredible love. And God says this morning, you can choose to give love or you can choose to hold love. But that's an incredible, incredible responsibility. And his heart this morning for us is this, that we would be people that would choose to give love, that we would not be people that would choose to hold back love, that we would love unconditionally. Think about how the Father loved us. He loved us unconditionally. Now we have the ability through the fruits of the Spirit to love like God loves. That is an incredible reality. And maybe you're here this morning and you don't love yourself. God says this morning, I am producing fruit in you that is love. I am producing fruit in you that will cause you to love yourself in a way that you cannot imagine. I'll cause fruit to grow in you that you will see yourself through the way I see you, and you will be a different person. You will be a different girl. You'll be a different boy. You'll be a different man, a different woman, because you know who you are in Christ and because you know the love that's being produced in you. We get to love people the same way he has loved us. We get to choose this. I want us to read 1 Corinthians 13:1. It's a set of verses we always read. It seems to be we always read it at weddings, but it's really important we don't miss it today. It says this, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or clanging cymbal." Wow. If I can speak all this incredible stuff, like I can speak loads of spiritual stuff, I can give you all this wisdom from God, I can quote a million different verses in multiple different languages without even seeing the Bible. But if I haven't got love, it's just a waste of time. It's just noise. And people know this as well, because people don't read you for your ability and your skill. They read you for who you are, your personality, the fruit that you carry. They ascertain very quickly who you are, what you're about, and where you're going. And we as witnesses of Christ, we as ambassadors for God, we want to be people that produce good fruit. But if I speak in tongues and all of these things, tongues of men and tongues of angels, and have not love, it's just noise. It doesn't affect anybody. It doesn't help anybody. If I have a prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I have nothing. Imagine that this morning. You can pray and see these incredible things happen. You can pray and see blind eyes open or whatever it is, all these big, amazing spiritual things. But if you haven't got love for people, that just spoils everything. It just removes everything, because God is love this morning. If I give away all that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Think about that. I give away all that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned. I become a martyr almost, but have not love, I gain nothing. And God is here this morning. He's saying this. I want it to be loud and clear. I've called you to produce good fruit. But if you're not producing love in your life, it's essential for everything else. Because love is the number one thing. Love is the number one action that we have to give. Love changes the world. Love drove Jesus to the cross. Love kept Jesus on the cross. Love allowed our Savior to come from heaven to earth. Love is what's causing him to come back. Love is the greatest weapon that we have. And if we fail to recognize that, we fail to recognize who we are. We actually deny who we are in Christ, because God's people are full of his love. Here's a quick point on some of those verses we just read. Watch your lifestyle doesn't undermine your fruit. Watch your lifestyle doesn't undermine your fruit, because this is vital. Because the way you choose to live and the lifestyle that you choose to carry out will always undermine your fruit. Will always do. It doesn't take that many insects to come to spoil the fruit. It doesn't take that many bad things. It doesn't take that many big things. Isn't it funny how small insects are? It doesn't take that much for one to come or some kind of disease to come, and it can wipe out the whole plant. It doesn't take much in our lives, unfortunately, when it creeps in and it gets a root and it starts to grow before it spoils the whole fruit. And God says this morning, watch our lifestyle, watch your decisions. Don't rob us of who we're trying to be. And I know it can happen accidentally, or it can happen intentionally, or maybe we're ignorant to the fact, but be careful. And that's why it's so important to have accountability in our lives. We've got people around us that we can trust, because in love, we need people to talk to us. In love, I need people to come to me and go, I'm not so sure about that. Are you sure about this? Are you sure about that? Because that's what family do. If we don't do that, we're just friends, or we're just acquaintances. We're just work colleagues. But family's able to talk about tough things too, aren't we? We're able to talk about tough things too. We can go like, hey, I'm not sure the way you acted there was very good. I'm not sure the way you went there was in love. I'm not sure the thought that you're carrying is a very good one. Now, we can hold that over each other, and that's not what God's asking. He's saying, look at the stick in your own eye before you look at anybody else. Look at and deal with the issues that you're dealing with. But we definitely need people to speak into our lives for accountability. Because sometimes the lifestyles we go, I was chatting to one of the guys last night, and he was saying, wow, it was like, if I had taken one more step this direction, I probably would have went into a lifestyle that would have definitely taken me away from God. You're like, wow, it was that simple. And it would have been something so natural to do. And God says this morning, be careful that our lifestyles don't undermine the fruit that the Holy Spirit is producing in our lives. God has given us different types of love, but the best love that he gives us is a God love. Agape or agape, depends what way you want to pronounce it. This incredible God love. And here's a quick definition let us see the kind of love that's in us if we want to use it. It involves faithfulness, it involves commitment, and it involves an act of the will. It's a decision. It's about faithfulness. It means I want to do this thing. I'm sticking by it. I'm not letting go. Isn't it amazing that when we're loving people, they let us down? Isn't it amazing that when we're loving people, they disappoint us? I'm not loving him anymore. I'm not loving her anymore. She just let me down. She didn't even phone me tonight. She did not even phone me. She's supposed to phone me. And it starts off something so small like that. And then it's like, she didn't phone me tomorrow either. What's going on? And then we get paranoid and then we get freaked out and we're like, what's going on? And then we're just going mad. And our love has disappeared. And before you know it, that person that we were really close to, it's like, we're not close to that person anymore. Why? Oh, just didn't phone me one time. But it's got worse and worse and worse. You don't understand. And God says this morning, I do understand. You've got to choose to love in the midst of that, because love is an act of the will. Love is faithfulness. Love is saying, I have decided. Love is saying, you're my friend no matter what. Love is saying, you're my family no matter what. Love is saying, you're my daughter, you're my son, you're my husband, you're my brother, you're my sister, no matter what. If we go any other way, we start to live a different way. We start to produce different fruit in our lives. And think about this for just a moment. What's a contrary fruit to love? It could be this. It could be sexual immorality. It could be impurity. It could be lustful pleasures. All of those things that want to attack the pure love that God gives us. Because his love is pure. His love is dedicated. His love is faithfulness. His love is an act of the will. I've decided I'm being with this person. I'm not going anywhere else. I love her because she's my best friend. I love him because he's my son. I love him because he's my brother. I will not be detracted from that. I will not lose that. I will not be pulled from that. Why? Because God's producing his love in me, which means I can love like him, and he doesn't leave me, and he doesn't let me down, and he doesn't despise me, and he doesn't give up on me. And God is here this morning saying, who have we given up on because we've allowed our love to take over instead of his love to take over? And it's not too late. We get to love again. We get to switch that love back on in God's strength, in his strength, and we get to love. Are we loving our strangers? Are we loving our neighbors? Are we loving the people on our streets the way that God loves them because Christ died for them? And God wants to convict our hearts this morning because he wants to produce good fruit in our lives. And it comes down to who we desire, what we desire, and who we're directed by. Who do we desire? What do we desire? Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our lives? Isn't it amazing that the enemy cannot compete with God's love? So he goes to sexual immorality and he goes to impurity. Because he tries to take something that's so pure and so covenantal and something so special and he brings it down to the gutter in the hope that men and women would go there too and decide to live there. And God says this morning, I want to lift you up from down here and I want to bring you back up to where you're supposed to live because you're meant to be unseated in heavenly places with Christ. Or as Isaiah said, you're meant to soar on wings like eagles because you have the power of Christ living inside of you. It's not about how good you are, it's about how good he is, but his goodness produces good in you. His goodness produces good fruit. And so this morning, allow the Lord to convict you. Allow the Holy Spirit to challenge us. Allow the Holy Spirit to change us. I mean, I'm just going to say it. There's no way we could sit here and not allow the Holy Spirit to do something. There is work that he needs to do in all of us. There's work that he definitely needs to do in me. And he's doing it. And I just have to yield to him. I have to submit to him. I have to allow him to do that because he wants to produce good fruit in my life. And if he's not producing good fruit, then I know the sinful nature is. And it's producing opposite things. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, all the things that are opposite to what God says. Here's what John 13:35 says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Love is absolutely essential because you can say you're a Christ follower, you can do the right things, you can say the right things, you can try to act the right ways, but if you're not in love and producing love and allowing his love to flow through you, you're not his disciples. Wow. That's what the word says, not me. Thank goodness the word says it, not me. Wow. That's something that's going to hit our hearts. But the Bible tells us that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword because it goes right through and it cuts to the core of the things that we need to hear. God is love and he loves us this morning. I want to go to joy. Don't worry, we're not going to take much longer. Joy. Joy is incredible. Joy is incredible because God's joy is different from our circumstances. God's joy says that no matter what we go through, no matter what we face, you have the joy of the Lord. No matter what circumstances you go through, his joy is greater. His joy is above it. That's why sometimes we get in a difficult circumstance and we think to ourselves, why am I still feeling joyful? Because that's the joy of the Lord. It's not against what you're going through. It's not disrespectful of what you're facing, of a sickness or a battle or any trial that you're going through. But it's because the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy. And God's producing joy in you, and even in the midst of the battle, even in the midst of the trial, there is joy that's being produced, and you're just feeding off, and you're going, wow, I know I should be dying tonight, I know I should be dejected, I know I should be like trying to give up on God here, but I'm feeling joyful even in the midst of the pain. I mean, there are so many times where I've went to people and prayed with people and seen people, and I'm like, they're supposed to be nearly dying, and they're just full of the radiance of the joy of the Lord. They're just beaming. They're just overwhelmed. They're just blowing up because the joy of God is so good. And here's the truth about joy, and it's important to think about this morning. Joy is supernatural, and joy is miraculous. It absolutely is, because it makes no sense. It makes no sense in the midst of a trial to be joyful. I mean, it makes no sense to be in the midst of the trial, and all you want to do is just laugh with the goodness of God, because you know that He's turning all things around for good for those who love Him. And that would be one of the best things that we could do, because His laughter, His joy is our strength. Because when we are going through the deepest trial, when we're going through the darkest valley, we count it all joy because James tells us that. Because we know He's perfecting us. We know He's shaping us. We know He's transforming us. We know He's renewing us. We know He is turning all things around for good for those who love Him and are called to His purposes. And so if I'm walking with God, if I'm directed by the Holy Spirit, if I'm not being led by the sinful nature, then I know good fruit's being produced in my life. And so therefore, I laugh in the midst of the enemy. I laugh in the midst of the trial. Because I know God's for me. I know God's with me. I know the joy of the Lord, and His joy is supernatural. His joy is absolutely miraculous. A few things that gives us this joy is because of the joy of salvation. The greatest reason that we have to be joyful is that if you know Christ, you have been saved from a lost eternity. We are laughing at the enemy because he thought he had us destroyed forever, but then suddenly we received Jesus into our hearts. Suddenly we got saved, and we are joyful people. Joyful on a Monday when everybody else is depressed, because we know we're going to heaven no matter what. Joyful. We're joyful, number two, because of His deliverance. Because we know that He has come to deliver us. So whatever battle you're going through, whatever addiction you're going through, He is faithful to deliver you from that. Whatever you're going through, whatever challenge, whatever thing that you're going through that you think there's no way out of, He is faithful to deliver you. You just got to trust Him. He will guide you. He will deliver you. It gives me more joy when I think about that. I am joyful because of spiritual maturity. Because again, I know the more I learn, the more I get. The more I get, the more I realize I got to learn more. But I know this one thing. If God's for me, who can be against me? I count that joy this morning. I have the joy of the Lord, and He wants to produce this in my heart. But here's the key thing. He wants to produce it, but do we want to let Him? Do we want to let Him produce joy in our lives? Or do we want to be like everybody else and just look like everybody else, talk like everybody else, and just kind of, oh yeah, whatever. We are not those kind of people. We are joyful people in the midst of despair. We are joyful people in the midst of the battle because we know our God has already won. We are joyful people. Even in the midst, I'll never forget it. We're in the midst of a wake. One of the saddest ones I'd ever been to, just the way the circumstances worked out. And then the end of the evening comes, and we sit around with just the guys. Their dad has just sadly passed away. We sit around with the guys, and it's just a few of us lads just at the end just chatting. And do you know what happens? Laughter starts to break out. We start to have the best fun I've had in years. It was so much fun. And I thought, this is it. This is it, because this is not disrespectful. This is the joy of the Lord, because we know in the midst of pain, in the midst of despair, there is joy, unspeakable joy, because of our indescribable gift in Christ Jesus. And even though we lose, we always win because their dad was in heaven waiting for them to come. And we were laughing that we will join him one day. We were laughing that the devil thinks he's beating us. The devil thinks he's got us. But even in death, there is no sting if we are in Christ Jesus. And so today, we know God because He is good and He's faithful. And even in the midst of that, there is joy. I'm going to get the guys to come and they're going to get ready to play. In just a moment, and allow me just to finish off. Here's what the New Testament tells us. 70 different times it tells us to rejoice. 70 different times. That means nearly every time you turn the page, the Bible's telling you to rejoice every single time you read the New Testament. When was the last time you rejoiced in the Lord? When was the last time you give joy? When was the last time you just rejoiced for all the good things that God is doing? We read it earlier, and here's a funny one to leave with you today as we're going to finish off with peace. If we really do count our joy, which is what James encourages us to do, the brother of Jesus, then we should be joy accountants. It should be our number one task every day to count our joy. We should have a spreadsheet at the end of the day that counts my joy instead of have a spreadsheet for our finances. I think a few people have spreadsheets for finances and spreadsheets for savings and spreadsheets for taxes. I definitely do. But I need to start a spreadsheet for joy because I need to start counting my blessings. I need to start counting my blessings. I need to start counting the joy that God has bestowed upon me. And he started to rejoice more over and over and over again in the New Testament. 70 different times. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice for this is the day that the Lord has made. Rejoice because of the breath you have. Rejoice because of what he has done in your life. Rejoice for what he's about to do. Rejoice because the enemy is defeated. Rejoice no matter what trial you find yourself falling into because God is absolutely with you. We've got to be accountants of joy. We've got to be a countenance of joy because we've so much joy to count. If we're not counting our joy, allow the Holy Spirit to direct you and watch how he produces that good fruit this morning. If we don't, here's what could possibly happen. The bad fruits are these: hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. It could go on and on. You pick out whatever you want to pick out. But God is here this morning saying, my joy is good. My joy is here for you. My joy wants to transform your life, and it should come out through your lips. Here's the good news about joy. It should be enjoyed. We've got to enjoy his joy. If we don't, what's the point having that fruit? If we don't, how will anybody know whose we are? Because people have to see the difference. They have to see the joy that's on us. They have to see the difference that's inside of us, and they will see it through your joy in the midst of despair. And you'll be like, I don't know what it is, but for some reason, I'm losing everything. I'm losing everything. I'm not getting any better, but for some reason, I'm joyful. Because I know that God's with me. I know that the devil cannot take enough from me because God's always pouring more into me because he's joyful. And he's producing joyful fruit in me. And the last one, let's stand together, is peace. Peace is not necessarily by being quiet, although sometimes it can involve being quiet. Peace, the number one function of peace is security. The number one function of peace is security. Where God gives us this incredible peace inside of our hearts so that we know without a shadow of a doubt, we are secure in his promises. We are secure in the things that happen to our lives. Don't we realize that there's times where things happen that we never expected to happen? Where we think, why did this happen? Why did that turn out like that? I feel all at sea. I feel like there's no reason or rhyme to this thing. And God says, even in the midst of troubled seas and troubled seasons, we have security because we have his peace. Isaiah tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so one of the main reasons that Jesus came was because he was the Prince of Peace in the midst of despair. What's the number one thing that the devil wants to do? Destroy our peace. He wants to make you think you're an orphan. He wants to make you feel that you're not a son, that you're not a daughter, that you're not secure, that your father doesn't have you in the palm of his hand. He wants you to feel that your life is a mess, that your life is chaos, that there's no end to it, there's no beginning to it, there's no purpose to it. In fact, you were a mistake. And God says, no. My peace, you have my peace, I am the Prince of Peace, I have transformed you, you are made in peace, you are crafted in peace, my peace is in you, and so therefore you have security. Final verse this morning before we sing, Romans 12:18, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men and all women. I'll just add the women in, just in case you think it's going to be okay to fight with girls. It's not. All men and all women, be at peace. What does that say to me? It says to me this: God's producing peace in me, but it's up to me to keep the peace. It's up to me to as if at all possible, it says, if at all possible, do your part. That's what it's saying. It's not giving you an excuse not to do it. It's saying you do your part. If at all possible, so as far as it depends on you. Remember that second part. So far as it depends on you, keep the peace. Be peacemakers. That's what we read last week in the Beatitudes. We're supposed to be peacemakers. And so as far as depends on you, this is me and you, then we're the guys, we're the girls who are going to keep peace with all men and with all women. The fruit that God's producing in me is peace. That's one of the big fruits. And it's up to us to hold fast to that. Otherwise, we'll rob ourselves of that. And you know what the ultimate loser of that is? It's me. The ultimate loser of it is. In every quarrel, in every row, in every situation that I think I'm fighting for justice or I'm fighting for me or I'm fighting against somebody else, I'll always be the biggest loser. Why? Because I've got to live with myself and they've got to live with themselves. I've got to live with me. I've got to take account of the words that I share. I've got to take account of the ways that I go, the actions that I take, the mannerisms that I take. You know that look of death, that look, that stare that could kill. I got to take ownership of that, responsibility of that, because I've got to live with me. And they've got to live with them. But as much as possible, hold your peace. So today, church, we're going for love. We're going for joy. We're going for peace. These are the fruits. Here's the good news. Don't worry about it. The Holy Spirit's producing it in your life. Just let him be your desire. Let him be your desire and let him be your director. Lord, I pray this morning you're going to speak to us. I pray as we worship this morning that something's going inside of us like never before. I pray this morning as we sing, Lord, as we worship, our minds are being transformed by the words that we're hearing, Lord, because faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. I pray this morning we don't even know it, but we are increasing this morning because we've heard the words of God. We don't even realize it, but God is changing us. We just have to not get in the way. Lord, allow us to be people that will stand on the promises of God and not be dismayed by anything else. Lord, I pray this morning that I will not hit Stephen anymore, and we just worship and praise and adore you in Jesus' name. Amen.